It's gonna get better.
You are going to get better.
One day at a time.
One moment at a time.
Be encouraged.
With God's help and a little bit of grace, don't give up.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for our services online. We are so glad that you have chosen to take some time to join with us for our online service. Of course, we are one church in hundreds of living rooms. And so wherever you're at today, thank you for joining us. And we can't wait until we're all back in this worship center, worshiping together, gathering together. But until then, thank God for technology that allows us to be together in this way. And so I just want to encourage you and just to stay encouraged, keep the faith. Let's continue forward with what God is doing. And I want to encourage you to continue to pray for our leaders, our government leaders who are making decisions about public gatherings, obviously affecting all of us. So let's pray that God will give them wisdom and direction on what to do. And we look forward to communicating with you about when we can gather again in person, what that's going to look like. So stay tuned to that. If you have a Bible, I want you to go to the book of Hebrews. Last week, we started a series of the book of Hebrews, and the series is called Better. And the reason we call it Better is because the word better is mentioned 15 times in the book of Hebrews. That's the theme of the book of Hebrews, is better. And of course, we're believing that through all of this that you and I are facing, that we're going to get better, our lives are going to get better, our faith is going to get better today. And just a little bit of a review, the book of Hebrews was written to a group of Jewish believers who were having a very difficult time. They were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. Some of them were in prison. Some of them, their property has been confiscated. Some of them are in physical danger. So it's a very difficult time, and they were discouraged. And of course, I think that's one of the enemy's most effective tools against all of us, is he loves to discourage us. And so that's one of the reasons why I wanted to share this series with you, is because I want to encourage you. The book of Hebrews is a book of encouragement about better things. And of course, today, I want to talk to you about better faith. Now, I'm very excited about this word today, and I think that this is going to speak to you, and it's going to speak to people that you know. So sometime throughout this message, take a moment and share this with other people, somebody you think that could use some encouragement. If you're on Facebook, share it. Share the link from live stream or for YouTube. I think this is the type of message that a lot of people will want to hear. Now, just a few preliminary thoughts as we begin to think about this message today about better faith. First of all, everybody wants a miracle, but nobody wants to be in position to need one. That's the truth. And then think about this. Sometimes we want to pray things away when what we need to do is pray through. Wow. And I think we're so quick to get out of situations sometimes that we don't get anything out of them. So think about that as we move through this study today. We're going to look at the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And this is called the faith chapter. Some people call it the Hall of Fame of Faith because it just talks about all of these great acts of faith, men and women of faith. But it starts with verse 1, and the Bible says that faith is confidence in what we hope for. So hope is connected to faith. Remember that. And faith is assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Now, we're not going to read the entire chapter here, but for the next few verses in chapter 11, the author talks about Abel and his faith that he made a sacrifice. It talks about Noah and his great faith. He builds a boat and saves the human race. Abraham, by faith, leaves his home country, and he doesn't know where he's going, and he starts this brand new nation of Israel. And of course, by faith, Isaac and Jacob helped to build the nation of Israel. Joseph, by faith, saves the people of Israel from extinction. And then it goes on to talk about Moses' parents, who by faith put their baby into the Nile River, trusting God is going to take care of that baby. And of course, the rest of the story, Moses becomes the deliverer of Israel. And he talks about Joshua, who by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. And then Rahab, the prostitute, who by faith is saved from Jericho. Now let's pick it up in verse 32. So I'm on verse 32. That's why we didn't read the whole chapter. But here it goes. It says, "And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, through faith administered justice and gained what was promised. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the fury of the flames. They escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength. And through faith became powerful in battle, and they routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again." So this first half of this chapter, this Hall of Fame of Faith chapter, recaps all of these amazing biblical stories, these heroes, and their conquest of faith. So I like to put it this way, that they had deliverance faith. They had faith to be delivered, and God delivered many of them. But the chapter doesn't end there, because it picks up in verse 35. He says, "There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. And some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground." Now remember, the author of Hebrews is writing to these Jewish believers who are being persecuted. Some are being thrown into jail. They're discouraged, and they're thinking about giving up and turning away from their faith. So the author is reminding them that God does give us faith to be delivered, but he also gives us faith to endure. See, I think in the second part of the chapter, the writer is talking about endurance faith. Now, I've heard many messages my entire life from Hebrews chapter 11, and I can tell you that the vast majority of those messages focuses on the first part of the chapter, deliverance faith. But I haven't heard too many messages about the last part. But we can't just skip over the parts of the Bible that we don't like. We need to read the whole Bible and let it speak to us. But look at what it says in verse 39. "These were all commended for their faith, both the ones who were delivered and the ones who were endured, all of them. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something," there it is again, "better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." Look at that. They were all commended for their faith, both those who were delivered and those who endured. Now, the author is not promising that they're going to be delivered. He's reminding them that they are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses in heaven who are cheering them on. And that great cloud of witnesses, including some who were delivered and some who weren't. Some never saw the promises. They never saw with their eyes the things that they had asked God for. You see, I think faith doesn't always deliver us from danger. Often, faith gives us the courage to go through the danger. Faith doesn't always deliver us from trouble. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it's faith that gives us courage to go through the trouble. I like what he said in chapter 10, verse 36. He says, "You have need of endurance. So he's talking to these very discouraged people, they're just down. He says, you need endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. So let me ask the all-important question today. Which is better, deliverance faith or endurance faith? Well, what's your answer? Here's mine. I think it takes as much faith to endure as it does to be delivered. Now, we all want to be delivered, and we all want to have faith to be delivered, but I think it takes just as much faith to endure as it does to be delivered. I think we need both kinds of faith. See, I think there's going to be times in your life that God's going to deliver you out of something, and there's going to be times in your life where God's going to deliver you through something. I'm going to have to amen myself today in this room. If you say amen, type amen there on the comments here today. Sometimes God's going to deliver you out of something, but then sometimes God's going to deliver you through something. Now, I've learned this story very well over the entirety of my life, but it became very real to me many years ago when my oldest brother, Samuel, passed away. He was 36 years old. This was about 20 years ago. In January of the year that he passed away, he was diagnosed with cancer. And then he died in August of the same year. It went very fast. Now, we prayed, we fasted, people prayed, churches prayed. Lots of people were praying for him, and there was chemotherapy, and there was radiation, and he tried holistic medicine, and he tried everything. Now, in the last few years of his life, he had followed the call of God into ministry, and so he was a youth pastor. The last message that he preached before he passed away was at Grace. Now, we had just had a church fire, so we were meeting at Channel 42 in their green room there, but he preached that Sunday night service. I'll never forget. I can see it right now. His head was swollen from the radiation treatments that he was going through, but he's just preaching with passion. And that night he prayed for a lot of people, and some people testified that on that night God healed them. And a few months later he passed away. Word got back to us that someone that we knew had said about Samuel, you know, if he would have had more faith, he would have been healed. Now, I'd love to tell you that when I heard that somebody said that, I was just like Jesus, and I said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. But that wasn't my reaction. It was more along the lines of laying hands on them suddenly. That's how I felt. But I learned a lot through that experience and continuing to learn. What I learned from that experience is that there is definitely more power than you and I can walk in. There's more authority that God's given to us that we don't exercise just yet. I absolutely believe that still. But what I most learned from that experience is that, yes, God gives a faith to be delivered, but God also gives a faith to endure. And that God, in the middle of the difficulty, can use it to make me better. I think that experience made me a better pastor. I think it made me more compassionate. I do funerals differently than I did before. When somebody says the word cancer, it means something different to me now than before. Sometimes I'll be watching a TV show or a movie about someone who is diagnosed with cancer, they're passing away, and I'll find myself while I'm watching just tearing up. Even these many years later, it's as if somebody poked a hole in that reservoir of tears in my spirit. There's this compassion now. And what I've learned is that the circumstances that we ask God to change are often the circumstances God is using to change us. I'm going to say that again, that the circumstances we ask God to change are often the circumstances that God is using to change us. You see, sometimes it's in the middle of the circumstances that God is doing his miraculous work. We sang it earlier, you know, Waymaker. Even when I don't see it, he's working. See, God could have kept Joseph out of prison. He could have kept Daniel out of the lion's den. He could have kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace. He could have kept Paul from being shipwrecked. He could have kept Jesus off the cross, but he didn't. God could have healed my brother. He could have kept all of this from this coronavirus. God could have done exactly what we wanted him to do, but he didn't. He hasn't. Now what? Some of you have prayed for that sick loved one that you love so much, and now they're doing better. We praise God with you for that answer to prayer. But some of you have prayed for loved ones who are sick and they weren't healed. What then? Some of you, your job hasn't been affected by this crisis at all. And perhaps there are some that are seeing a financial windfall as a result of this crisis. We praise God with you for how God is providing. But some of you have lost your job. Some of you business owners are very worried about your family and the families that are depending on you, and you're nervous. Is God showing favoritism? Is God hearing one person's prayers and not another? Does someone have more faith than somebody else? You see, I'm trying to tell you that we need both deliverance faith and endurance faith. And they're not opposite. They're the same. There's a famous old song that we used to sing, a hymn of the church that has a powerful testimony to the power of enduring faith. Listen to the story, and then we're going to sing the song.
Horatio Spafford was a successful attorney and real estate investor who lost a fortune in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. Around the same time, his beloved four-year-old son died of scarlet fever. Thinking a trip would do his family some good, he sent his wife and four daughters on a ship to England, where their friend and Chicago pastor, D.L. Moody, was holding a revival. Spafford planned to join them after he finished some pressing business at home. However, while crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship was involved in a terrible collision and sunk. More than 200 people lost their lives, including all four of Horatio Spafford's precious daughters. His wife, Anna, survived the tragedy. Upon arriving in England, she sent a telegram to her husband that began, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" Horatio immediately set sail for England. At one point during his voyage, the captain of the ship, aware of the tragedy that had struck the Spafford family, summoned Horatio to tell him that they were now passing over the spot where the shipwreck had occurred. As Horatio thought about his daughters, words of comfort filled his heart and his mind. He wrote them down, and they have since become a well-beloved hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know it is well with my soul. Maybe we can't always say that everything is well in all aspects of our lives. There will always be storms to face. Sometimes there will be tragedies. But with faith in a loving God and with trust in his goodness and love for us, we can confidently say, it is well with my soul.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll,
See, we need both deliverance faith and endurance faith. So let's talk about how to have the type of faith to endure. How do we get that? How does that happen in our lives? Well, let's go back to the first verse that we read earlier, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You see, I think the key to having enduring faith is our eyes. What are we looking at? What are we paying attention to? What is our perspective? If we're going to have enduring faith, we've got to choose to see things differently. We've got to have a different perspective about a few things, including suffering and pain. We've got to look at it differently. And Hebrews 11 talks about this in verse 26. The author is talking about Moses. And he says he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. For he was, look at this, looking ahead to his great reward. He wasn't looking at the suffering now. He was looking ahead to the reward or the benefit of what was going to happen. Now, I highlighted that phrase, better to suffer, because I don't think that's a phrase that we want in our vocabulary, that it's better to suffer, but sometimes it is. And he also says in chapter 11, verse 34, that part of the result of that was that their weakness was turned to strength. You see, there is a powerful thing that happens when we endure. We get stronger. I think the butterfly is a great illustration of this. It's a zoological fact that if you help a struggling butterfly, when it attempts to emerge from the small hole in its cocoon, you're actually going to do more harm than good. Because it's the struggle that has been designed by God that produces this fluid that produces wings. And in this painful process, it allows those wings to develop perfectly. Without the struggle, they cannot fly. If God takes you out of the struggle that you're in right now, is it possible you might not have strength to make it through the next one? You see, what you and I are going through right now, it may not be from the Lord, but God can use it. God can use it to make us stronger. God can use it to make us better. It's preparing us for something greater. You see, it's that kind of perspective that makes us endure. So if we're going to have enduring faith, we've got to look at pain and suffering differently, but we also need to look at eternity differently. We need to have an eternal perspective. I heard a pastor say one time that we are not a physical being having a temporary spiritual experience. We are a spiritual being having a temporary physical experience, which means this part of us, our flesh and blood, it's not going to last forever. It's temporary. But that spirit man part of us, that part is going to last forever. And the part of you that is going to live forever is the most important part of you. And see, and that's the perspective that all of these heroes have faith had in chapter 11. It said that they placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. What enabled them to endure? What enabled them to endure trials and difficulty and persecution? The writer's encouraging these discouraged Christians is because they were looking for a better life. Not this life right here and now, but a better life in heaven. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can get caught up in an American version of Christianity that is all about how Jesus can make your life better. The catchphrase of our culture many times right now is your best life now. You know, that nothing bad's gonna happen to me. You know, that Jesus is in my life and now everything is just perfect. Well, Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, he said, if in this world, you're gonna have tribulation. But then he said, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Well, pastor, that's not very positive. I'm positive there's going to be trouble in our lives. We're going to have trouble in this world. Job chapter 14, verse 1, Job said, man's days are short and full of trouble. You see, as long as we're alive, as long as we live in this broken world, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trials. There's going to be difficulty. Are they going to make us bitter? Or are they going to make us better? You see, the one thing that all of these heroes of faith had is they were looking forward to heaven, to the return of Jesus. And I think it's the last verse of that famous song, It Is Well, that speaks to that. Let's sing it together. It's not always going to be like this. This world that you and I live in is broken. And the Bible says that the earth is groaning for the return of Jesus Christ. So we're not looking for a heaven here on earth. We're not expecting it. We're looking for a better place, a very real place where there's no loss, there's no pain, there's no death, no pandemics, no anxiety, no persecution, no evil. Nothing. We're looking forward to heaven. And the verse says in verse 39 that all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. And none of them received all that God had promised, for God had something better in mind for us. Here's what I think. I think whether God delivers you from something or if God delivers you through something, it's because he has something better in mind. You say, pastor, well, what in the world is God doing? You know what? I don't know. And you may not know. But that's why it's called faith. Faith is trusting that God is good. Trusting that God's in control. Faith, and when I have that kind of faith, you know what? I may get discouraged. I may have bad days. I may have days where I'm not as just excited as other days. But watch this. Chapter 10, verse 39 says, we don't belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed. Basically saying, we're not going to quit. We're not going to lay down and die. We're going to keep serving God. We're going to keep having faith. He goes, but we are those who have faith and are saved. I want to pray for those of you today that are discouraged. I want to pray for anybody who is worried and anxious and fearful. Maybe your relationships are difficult. Maybe you're battling things. Perhaps there's financial hardship. I want to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God would give you endurance and that through all of that, God's going to do something good in your life. Lord God, I pray for for every man, every woman, every teenager, every child who's watching this today. And God, they're discouraged. So today, God, would you give them the faith of Hebrews chapter 11? God, we pray for faith to be delivered, but God, we also pray for faith to endure. And God, we pray that you would give a supernatural surge of expectation, a new revelation that through it all, God, we can trust you and we can believe you and that you're working it out. And God, we pray for hope. We pray for courage to endure. I want to pray for a second group of people watching today. And some of you, you might be mad at God. Maybe you've been disappointed by God. Perhaps you prayed for someone you loved and God didn't heal him. God didn't answer your prayer. They were so young. They were innocent. They didn't deserve it. You loved them so much. And because God didn't answer your prayer the way you wanted him to, you're upset. Maybe some of you are disappointed because of some things that have happened to you. Maybe your spouse left you. Maybe you lost your job and now everything's harder. I want to remind you that God loves you and that he's a good God and he's a good father. And you may not understand everything that happens, but you don't have to. All we have to do is trust him. And that's what he invites us to do. Do you believe that God is good? If you believe he's good, then I want you to encourage you to trust him and be like these believers in Hebrews chapter 11, the ones who had faith to be delivered, but also the ones who had faith to be endured, trusting in Jesus Christ. If you're watching and you're away from God, you're far from God, today's the best day to return to him with all your heart. Maybe you're like that prodigal son that you've ran from God. Maybe you've ran away and you've done things that you regret. But now you're coming to your senses. The Holy Spirit's starting to talk to you and you realize you need to return to the living God. You can do that right now. I want to invite you, if you are ready to surrender your heart and life to Jesus, let me just say you need to surrender your heart and life to Jesus today. Then would you join with me as we pray? And everyone who's watching this message, would you join out loud just in faith for those who are praying this prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time? Pray this way. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the cross where you paid for my sin. I agree with you that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I put my faith and hope in the goodness of God, proved by the cross and the resurrection. From this day forward, I surrender. My life is yours. And from this day forward, I'll follow you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you mean business with God and you prayed that prayer, would you take a moment and text the word Jesus to 317-653-6793. Now, we want you to do this because we want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you when it comes to your decision, the best decision of your life, following Jesus. So take a moment right now, text the word Jesus to this number. You'll be glad you did. And we just want to congratulate you and encourage you on your new walk with Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about the message today, or if you have any questions about anything really, send us an email at info@graceassembly.org, info@graceassembly.org. We'll be responding to your email as quickly as we can. So thank you so much for joining us here today. I hope you are encouraged by the message about better faith from the book of Hebrews. I want to encourage you to join us next week as we continue to dive in to the idea of how God wants us to be better through difficult times. So until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Go with God. Have a great week. We love you.